Midday 180 on 104.5 The Zone. Glad you're with us. The music means Coach Mack is in studio with us. He joins us every Thursday, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. FBHP.com is the website. Farm Bureau Health Plans, protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Again, online at FBHP.com. For more Titans and NFL conversation with Dave McGinnis, you can download the official Titans podcast. You look for the OTP wherever you download your podcasts. Farm Bureau Health Plans has been great to us each and every Titans season. They've been great with us throughout the postseason, and every week they present Dave McGinnis. And tonight, Mac, we're headed to Columbia to meet with those guys.
Yeah, it's going
to
be so much fun. I got the where we're going, the group we're going with.
Yep.
I'm looking forward to it. We're driving in snow for it. That's how much I'm looking forward to it.
These snow flurries coming off a 60-degree day. Snow flurries are really going to
bother
a lot
me
of
when I'm meeting with Farm Bureau Health Plan people. So that'll be fun. Be a lot of fun tonight.
New CBA that's being negotiated right now. If you would have asked me a month ago my thoughts on if a CBA gets done this offseason prior to free agency and the draft, I've said no way. Because I've witnessed what happened 10 years ago. What's changed in that decade where it doesn't seem to be as contentious as it was?
The money, Hutt. The money. There's lots of money out there now.
Well, there was a lot of money then.
No, there wasn't. Not like this. I mean, this is deal-changing money. I mean, back then, I mean, they were fighting. I mean, we had guys holding out because they couldn't get $200,000 a year. I mean, so the money for everybody. This is a huge pot that regardless of, I mean, you start getting a percentage of the size of pot that this is, it makes the talks quicken up. Now, you're always gonna negotiate and try to get as much as you can, you know, which is obvious, but they've been through this before too. I mean, now they've been through it. You know, the first time I lived through the strike in 87, okay? That was brutal, okay? The lockout was something entirely different. But they've been through these labor things before, and they found out how much the labor agreements benefit everybody. And so that's what's changed.
On the list, I mean, we don't have super specifics, but one of the player wins, again, is some kind of reduction of off-season
work. Yeah.
And we've heard, Vrabel's very good at not complaining, but we've heard a ton of coaches, a ton of GMs complain already about the restrictions, particularly as it affects offensive line play. How much less can there be, and how much will it affect early season football?
Well, Paul, the thing about those restrictions are everybody has to work under the same restrictions. I mean, before there were any restrictions, then it was the Wild West. You could do whatever you wanted to. And that was an issue because you had different teams doing different things. And then all of a sudden, and you know how competitive football coaches are, and you know how, I mean, and so it got to be as to where it was not manageable. And it was hard to justify doing one thing when one team's doing the other thing. How much does it affect? If it'll affect everybody evenly because everybody is under the same restrictions and the same rules. That's my best answer for that. I mean, clearly, you know, the more work that you can get in, especially at a position like the offensive line, because the things that the offensive linemen are asked to do in the National Football League, position specific, technique wise, are different than what they do in the NCAA. You know, but if everybody's under the same restrictions, then what that means you need to do is you need to have a good plan and how to get those guys ready when you do, but it's uniform. As long as it's uniform, I've got no problem with it across the board. I used to have a big problem with when there were no rules at all.
Quick announcement about tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, 10:15, Coach Mack is back with us, and he's bringing former Titans head coach Jeff Fisher in studio. We will be previewing the NFL Combine in depth, and we will be discussing what it's like to prepare for the NFL Combine from their perspective as head coaches and positional coaches across the league, and what they're expecting from this year up in Indianapolis, where we'll be next week. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, Jonathan, I think your Midday 180 listeners will really enjoy this because of the fact that, you know, of course, he and I both have been doing it for the same amount of years in the National Football League. And then, of course, Jeff, all the years, the 15-plus years that he served on the competition committee, they go up there a week earlier than anybody else. And so their time in there is really extended. And you're the one that brought up the idea to do it. And I think it's a great idea. And when I approached Coach Fisher about it, he loved the idea, you know, of coming on. He likes coming on with you guys, and he always likes coming on air here in Nashville. And so we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some of the changes because, I mean, he and I were both involved when it first started there and saw the myriad of changes it has made from then until now. And now they're making a major change. And so it's going to be, I think our listeners will really like it. Your listeners will really like it. That'll be fun.
And he was telling me a story yesterday that we'll have tomorrow that he's never told before. New info tomorrow. So that'll be a lot of fun. Tomorrow morning, 10:15, both Coach Mack and Jeff Fisher in studio.
Can't wait for that. That's appointment listening and something I'm definitely looking forward to on the show as well. Coach Greg Robinson found himself in a little bit of trouble down on the border.
Well, stop a minute, Chad.
Yeah.
Not a little bit.
Yeah, a lot.
He was carrying his body weight.
157 pounds worth of trouble. That is not intent for consumption. That is intent to distribute. In a federal crime, and that is not good for Greg Robinson.
We don't know about his consumption habits.
That's true, but that's the way the federal government's going to look at it.
The Heisenberg heist. Yeah.
Is it blue?
I'm Heisenberg.
Is it blue?
Bleep right. So you were a part of the coaching staff when he was drafted in St. Louis. This is more of a general question. When you have to look at, and this can kind of tie along into our topic tomorrow with Coach Fisher coming in, when you are seeing some red flags with a player, but the player's physical talent and football talent is undeniable, how difficult is finding that balance of whether or not you want to bring a guy into your organization, knowing they're a really good football player, but also knowing there's a high likelihood they could be a headache?
Okay, first of all, legitimate question. Now, in Greg Robinson's case, because we're naming names.
Yes.
And he put himself out there.
His name's out there now.
For scrutiny, he never had those issues. There were no red flags with him with those issues at all. The biggest issue, Greg Robinson, is if you wanted to draw up the physical characteristics of an ideal tackle, left or right, just tackle in the National Football League, it's Greg Robinson. Tremendous athletic skills, nimble feet, powerful, strong, length, can do any type of block that you want, can get down. I mean, physically, it's exactly the package you want. The only issues that we had, and the thought process was because of the offense that he was in Auburn, you know, a zone read. I mean, they never huddled. They never huddled. So he, you know, like a lot of those linemen in the NCAA, they've never heard a huddle call. Okay, and normally they get to the line of scrimmage and they'll look over to the sideline. Didn't play a lot in a 3-point stance. So the only concerns are not concerns, but issues were, is how long will it take him to be able to adapt to what you have to do in the National Football League as an offensive lineman? But those types of issues, there were zero of them. Zero.
So it's very surprising then.
Well, I don't know what he's been doing since. I mean, look, you're a number one draft pick and you're drafted there and you lose your job. Okay, you lose your job and then you're demoted and then you're cut and then you go to the Lions and then you're cut. And then you go to Cleveland and you know, you get hurt. Then you come back and you play. So clearly, on his journey, once he got into the National Football League, he's been going through some things. But he clearly has not performed up to what his draft status was. And who knows what kind of problems that causes. But clearly, that's an issue that he just found out is out there. Because I promise you, those dudes that stopped those vehicles, those guys, they could care less where you were drafted.
Expanded playoff field coming as part of the new CBA. With an expanded playoff field, I would imagine comes some enhanced coaching security. Your team might be the same. It's going to be the same, but you're going to get a playoff berth instead of not getting a playoff berth, and you're going to be able to say to the owner, I'm in the playoffs. How much of a change that?
Well, I mean, first of all,
you're the Steelers. I mean, I know Mike Tomlin's not in trouble, but here's a PFT headline. Under the new playoff format, the Steelers would have had four more playoff appearances in the last 10 years.
Sure. And here's the thing with that. When you go from 6 to 7, you're going from 38% of the teams in the league going to the playoffs to 44%. That's the percentage. You know, that's where you're going from. And so to me, and sometimes in the National Football League, Paul, and you know this, you've been doing this a long time, it's not enough to make the playoffs. You know, at certain times, it's not enough to make the playoffs. The thing that's most interesting to me about that is the three games on Saturday and Sunday the first week. That is huge. And plus, you only get each one team in each conference gets a bye. And the other thing that has kind of been a sidelight to this, but goes by, it was mentioned, but I don't think anybody pays attention to it, is because, you know, I've been on playoff teams that have had byes. You don't get paid that bye week.
You do now.
You do now. And that's a big difference. I mean, that's a difference. I mean, you know, you're going to be paid even though you have the bye. Used to be you were not paid when you had the bye. And so that's a big difference. And plus, with this new CBA that's coming out, with this new arrangement, the money for those playoff teams will be more too. As far as the percentage, percentage goes, you're still going to have to work your way through the tournament. We just beat a number one seed this year. I was on a number one seed. I coached on a number one seed team here that got beat in the first game. So nothing is guaranteed when you get in. But just getting into the playoffs in the National Football League has never guaranteed job security. It's enhanced it sometimes, but sometimes you can be considered underachieving if you've got a really good football team and then all of a sudden you don't perform in the playoffs. So, look, I'm all for it. But I still think that you still have to win in the tournament.
And preparing for this new collective bargaining agreement, they don't prepare and just look in the near future. This is a long-term scope, and we know...
Presumably 10 years,
it's right? 10 years out.
Well, it's
right,
10 years out, it's but, 10 years out, but they're also positioning themselves for the next CBA agreement as well. Like, they're billionaires for a reason, and to expand the league, it's now global. That's the next step. You and I and all of us in here have discussed with you in here, Mac, about how the league wants to play a game in Germany, which you've done. They want to play a game in Mexico every year, which they're doing. They want to play a game... multiple games, home slates in London, which the Jags are more than willing to go and do. Do you think the 17th game will eventually be one game every year for every team playing abroad somewhere or a neutral site game?
I've got to think yes. I've got to think the answer to that question.
Canada? I mean, there's
yes.
Options.
I mean, there are options. And, of course, and I mean, as the league continues to grow, and I mean, I've been fortunate. I mean, I've seen a metamorphosis of this league since 1986. I've lived through all of it. You know, as a coach, as a head coach, I've lived through all of it and seen it. And the game has continued to grow. The popularity of the game has continued to grow. And you know, and everybody that's involved in the game, myself included, you know, I'm not saying that I've benefited from this, you know, throughout my career. But to answer your question specifically, Jonathan, I don't see how that is not in the mix.
Free agency could be a lot of fun to follow. And the quarterbacks drive the league, and they're going to drive the market in free agency. There are going to be a lot of guys looking for new spots.
In the 34 years I have been in this league, I have never seen a group of recognizable,
yeah,
legitimate quarterbacks that are going to be available when free agency starts. Because, you know, that is nominally the thing that everybody's looking for, is a quarterback. And now you're going to have quarterbacks that have proven records in the league. Good, bad, or in the middle, they've played in the league, so there's really not much guessing. But as many of these that are on, I've never seen it like this before, Hutt, never. And this is going to be very interesting. And you're going to have all different levels of it, too. And this is going to impact the draft. Because, you know, when we did the draft last year, sitting on the General Jackson, and in our talks when we were talking about picks, there are two drafts that go on every year in the National Football League. There is the positional drafts, and then there's the quarterback draft. Those two are separate drafts unto themselves because the quarterback position is a different position. And so those, you know, people will make moves on that position much more strongly and much more differently than they will make on any other position in the game. And so for this many free agents to be out there right now, that are going to be out there, I mean, we're assuming a lot of things. Some we already know they're going to be out there. This is going to impact, this will have an impact on the draft. It absolutely will.
We've talked a lot about this Brady scenario. He's obviously tight with Vrabel.
Sure.
And knows Robinson. There's a lot of intrigue to the idea of adding perhaps the greatest quarterback of all time. But they had great success with Tannehill, who did some remarkable things. How do you think they sort through things right now as they await March 18th.
Well, I mean, I'm sure, Paul, I know they're having ongoing discussions with this. I mean, they are. And to say what they're going to do, but here's one thing that I do know they'll do. They're going to make a football decision, because this is going to come down to a business decision. It absolutely is. And when you're dealing with both players, and so we're talking specifically about Tom Brady, and we're talking specifically about Ryan Tannehill, they both have leverage. You know, both of these players do. And so it's going to be very interesting. It's going to be one of the more intriguing scenarios in the league, as to where there are going to be a lot of these scenarios out there. It just so happens that you had a very intuitive and a very impactful free agent acquisition made by John Robinson last year, which was one of the best moves I've ever seen. Then you had a move made by the head coach in the Denver ball game that was, and the impact of that. And then you have a player that performs to the level of not only, you know, moving the team to the AFC Championship game as NFL Comeback Player of the Year. So you've got a lot of things to weigh on that. And then, as you said, you know, with Tom Brady, there's not much else you need to say about what his accomplishments are. But these are going to be interesting discussions. Which way they're going to go, I would have no idea. You know, I mean, I've been involved in a lot of interesting, I mean, free agent. I mean, I was involved in getting Emmitt Smith from the Cowboys. I was involved in trading Aeneas Williams, you know, when we couldn't work a deal out in Arizona, to the Rams so that he could go on and do. I mean, but nothing of this magnitude right now.
How diminished is Brady at this point in his career? Because there's a lot of talk. Oh, he's 42. He's going to be 43, and he's going to be 44. When you watch his game and you turn on the film and watch him play, how different is he today as opposed to, let's say, 3 or 4 years ago?
Well, I mean, I studied Brady this year just when we were getting ready to play him,
right?
You know, in the playoffs, and Tom Brady, what Tom Brady has done with his career supersedes what most everybody else. I don't think you can put a normal measuring stick on Tom Brady. You know, I really don't. You know, now clearly, all of us, all four of us sitting here, all of our listeners sitting out there, there's definitely a difference that age makes. I mean, you're not going to defy that. You're not going to defy that.
Paul's doing it, though, on daily.
Oh, God, well, yeah.
Paul's a physical specimen.
Right. It's true.
He's a bill of health.
I mean, rapid deterioration physically.
Little did you know that I'm a member of the TB12. Well,
Paul's going to go have some avocado ice cream right after this with Guerrero.
No, sorry, there. Mac. That
I'm
was
off
just
there.
You put the ball in the tee for me.
I'm on avocado. I'm off there.
Yeah.
Paul, I think you look great.
Thanks.
You're welcome.
These guys are just jealous.
No, they really are. I mean, they really are. And so, but anyway, I mean, as far as diminished, I wouldn't even use the word diminished. Is he different than he was when he first started? Absolutely he is. Can he still be a quarterback that can do what you want him to do in this league? I still believe he can.
We saw what it was like with Kevin Durant hosting teams in the Hamptons whenever he was a free agent.
Hutton loved it. It's like a soap opera.
Hated it. Because I only hated it based on what he wanted to hear.
Yeah.
What he wanted to hear from these teams. What will it be like if Brady decides to host teams instead of making those visits? Is there any difference to that? And how elaborate will the plans be that teams fly in with if that's the case?
Well, I mean, first of all, that's going to all be up to Tom Brady. All right. And then, I mean, if you're talking about teams coming in, you know, if he actually is going to bring teams into him, then you'll bring your decision makers into him. I'm pretty sure it's not going to entail a workout. You know, I can be.
You think it includes like current players?
I can be pretty sure it's not.
Players come in and try to pitch him the way.
Well, it depends. I think it's up to the whichever. You know, look, you've got 32 entities in the National Football League that all conduct business differently. All conduct business differently. I've worked for several organizations. They've all conducted business differently. They're all looking for the same end result, but they all conduct business in different manners. So, the door's wide open as far as if this is truly what happens. I think each individual group that goes in will bring their own unique set of negotiating to it.
Maybe Emmitt Smith is an example here, but were there situations where you had to sell what you were doing to a player instead of the player trying to sell you on why they were a fit?
Well, Emmitt's a pretty good, you know, reason, because, you know, the Cowboys had decided that, you know, they didn't, and Emmitt wasn't through playing. And so, you know, when we brought Emmitt in, and there was a big group with Emmitt. I mean, Emmitt Smith, guys. And he had a big group. And so there were a lot of things, you know, marketing. There were a lot of things to consider with that. But I will tell you this, and I don't think Emmett would mind me telling this story. I know he wouldn't, because I've told it before, you know, with he and I together. You know, when they were doing all of this, and we were at a resort up in Scottsdale, up on the hills, overlooking the city, and we'd had a big elaborate dinner. And then so finally I said, E, would you come out? And he and I walked out on a balcony. I said, look, I understand everything that comes with it, and much respect. I said, you know how much I respect players in this league, and players of your caliber are special to me because I've been with him. He said, Coach, I know. I said, for all of this that goes on, I just want you to know the football reason I want you here is because we're young, we're not very good, I'm trying to get something established here. If you do come here, I want you to teach the guys in my locker room how to be a pro and how Emmett Smith did it. He said, I promise you I will do that if I decide to come here. And guess what? He did. So.
Veteran who is staying is Drew Brees. He decided, he put out on Instagram, he's coming back for another year, running it back, and rightfully so. When you see how that team is built, it's built to make another run with a veteran quarterback.
Why would he leave? I mean, the pairing of he and Sean Payton as his play caller. I mean, that's, you know, that to me, the symbiotic relationship those two guys have has extended both of their careers and have taken both of them to really major heights in the National Football League. I mean, it really has.
And Payton's one of the best in passing schemes.
Well, yes, I mean, Sean is. I mean, he's proven it. And plus, I mean, just his connection with Drew Brees, I mean, everything works. There's no reason for him to leave. No reason. They've got a good team. And to Paul's question in the earlier segment, now you've got seven teams coming in? I mean, come on. I mean, that didn't shock me at all, Hutt.
Mac, there's no reason for you to leave except we have David Poyle coming up. So we'll talk with the Predators general manager next, and we will see you tomorrow morning. Jeff Fisher's in studio with us.
Yeah, I'll see you tonight. You got to let me know where we're meeting, because if we don't get a meeting place, then I might be driving down over the Cumberland Pass looking for where we're supposed to be.
I got you covered.
See you. Thanks, guys. See you.
Coach Mack, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans, protecting Tennesseans since 1947, online at FBHP.com.